This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Excellence. Thank you for joining us today, as always, on the program. Reading a few texts during the news break here in response to our conversation with Brent Sanford about the effort to recruit a workforce from Ukraine for the oil and gas industry. Texter says, my wife is a legal immigrant from the Philippines, and we've been waiting for months and months for her authorization to work. She has a college degree and is highly trained and has to sit around waiting for some government organization to give her permission to work in the state of North Dakota, where there's upwards of 20,000 job openings. Some say 40, by the way. Time to get our congressional delegation to work on this. I've spoken to some USCIS agents, and they have solutions to the problem, but the swamp will not listen. Another said, cut the welfare and more people will be willing to work. Another said, the problem is not enough pay. Previous years, the oil field pay was substantially higher than normal pay, but if we get Ukrainian workers, the wages will stay lower. Another said, I would like to have known from Lieutenant Governor Sanford the following. Are these Ukrainian people vetted to make sure we're not getting Nazis from Ukraine, that we're getting the best of the best for the state of North Dakota? Because we all know Ukraine has a huge self-proclaimed Nazi problem. All right, appreciate all the feedback. Thank you for that. And we'll continue to watch that conversation closely. You heard some of the targets for the early efforts on that, so we'll continue to watch that story. Interesting one. And I'm a simple-minded guy, and I know this, that right now you have sort of a circular firing squad of people going from one company to the other company, but that solves nothing. We need an influx in the wherever that comes from. You know, maybe that's somebody working a low-dollar job here that'll go there and be trained, and all of a sudden they're making, you know, 40, 50 bucks an hour and get out of a job that's 15, whatever, or it's Ukraine, whatever, because these companies will tell you they can't get people. Therefore, the growth that feeds North Dakota's tax coffers is not possible without the people. Got to solve it somehow. That's for sure. Now let's talk about another energy source, lignite. And what that's doing for North Dakota's economy, an industry that I dare say has had a target on its back unlike anything we've seen in recent history in America. I mean, you look at the regulatory side of things in government, you look at the whole ESG movement, the global warming crowd, it's significant. And yet they continue to do what they do and contribute mightily to North Dakota's economy. To tell us more about that is the president and CEO of the Lignite Energy Council, Jason Bohr, with us today on the program. Jason, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
If you have a question, by the way, we welcome your texts. We had calls for the Lieutenant Governor as well, and we certainly welcome those as well. Didn't get a chance to get to as many emails when he was on because the calls were coming in. To call 701-271-1100, to text 701-237-1590. Call 271-1100, text 237-1590. So tell me a little bit about this study and what excites you most.
Well, we study every couple of years the economic impact of the lignite energy industry in North Dakota. And what we really found is that it is an incredibly stable industry. And the economic impact is nearing $6 billion. Got about 12,000 jobs that are spread out across the state. And that's really one of the things that we looked into more closely this cycle, which is the job distribution. So we know that obviously the bulk of those jobs are close to the mines and the power plants. But there's 4,000 or so jobs that are distributed well outside of what you traditionally think is coal country. And we're looking at jobs that are, you know, in Grand Forks and Fargo and Dickinson and Minot. And that is where the strength of the coal industry contributes, not just through low energy prices, but through employment and localized taxes as well. So that's one of the things that we're excited to talk about out of this study, but also just the general economic impact of, you know, 3,000 jobs where the average wage is in the $85,000-$90,000 range. That provides a shot in the arm to economies and state coffers.
Sure does. A couple things there on what you touched on that I'd like to follow up on. One is the $6 billion in impact include the low cost of energy as a result of the lignite industry being here?
That's not directly computed, no. And we know that that is incredibly important because when businesses move to North Dakota, a lot of times they will reference our low cost of electricity. And so we know that's an economic driver. And we know that that adds to economic competitiveness and it adds to wealth and prosperity. But we didn't look to directly capture and quantify the value add that that low cost of energy provides. We're looking more at the direct impacts, the direct expenditures that are like the bills, the invoices, the things that are paid from the mines, the power plants, the workers themselves.
And these 4,000 jobs that are outside of the epicenter of the lignite industry, give me an example. What kind of jobs? What are those jobs doing?
Researchers, for one. Our industry supports multiple research projects. I'll just pick a couple in Grand Forks, looking at carbon capture and critical minerals. Those jobs are probably even more highly compensated because, for the most part, you're looking at doctorate-level researcher-led projects that are also employing engineers. And you're looking at highly technical challenges, which is like how do you compress, store, transport carbon dioxide in a pipeline, or how do you extract critical minerals from coal carbon ore? How do you build a new type of ceramic tile from lignite coal? Those are highly technical challenges that we have lignite employees working on outside of this coal region.
What else? Does it include, for instance, the equipment you need that might come from a Fargo or a Grand Forks dealer?
Yeah, absolutely. Butler Machinery is one of our most valued members in the lignite industry. They've done a ton for our workforce development. They've got a great workforce development program, and a lot of our machines come from them. A lot of the service is performed by them. And so if you are if you're needing new machinery or machinery service, you might have a lignite employee who would not be there, would not be in your community in Fargo if it weren't for the existence of the lignite community, and that employee is supported by the industry and might be supervising or directly involved in a procurement project for a lignite coal mine, you know, in Center or wherever it might be.
Fascinating. And 12,000 total jobs, as you mentioned, 4,000 of those jobs elsewhere, which could easily be something you don't think of, right? Somebody, a researcher at UND, you're not thinking is connected to the industry, but if the industry isn't here, those jobs go away. That $6 billion impact ripples all throughout the state. And I would argue, I'd love to see a number that includes the savings of energy impacting every bottom line on everybody. I mean, the cost of electricity impacts the cost of everything. We forget that so easily, don't we?
Yeah, and it actually would be fairly easy to calculate, because we know you can compare the price of electricity in North Dakota to the price of electricity in Minnesota. And, you know, it's 2 or 3 cents cheaper. So take a look at the average electric bill. If it's $100, 3%. So take that 3%. Your economic impact is 3% greater in North Dakota than it would be in Minnesota because of low prices of electricity. That 3% can be spent on salaries, on benefits, on equipment, on building. So it's an incredible upgrade to be able to have that low cost of electricity.
Lignite industry in North Dakota continues to build upon its positive economic impacts to the state. High-paying jobs, we talked a little bit about business activity, tax revenue, all part of a new study from the NDSU Department of Agribusiness and Applied Economics. Walking through some of those numbers with Jason Bourne. We'll do that. Get an industry update as well on some other issues when we return. Don't go away.
Spring into summer with the University of Mary. For over 60 years, we at Mary have been helping young adults like you reach your leadership potential. Whether you're looking to advance your career or start a new one, we're here to support you with flexible, affordable online degree plans. If you enroll by June 30th with the promo code SUMMER, you'll receive a $500 scholarship towards any eligible program. Learn more at online.umary.edu. That's online.umary.edu.
Did you know you can move for free? Sound too good to be true? Action Movers has an exclusive program that gives you the opportunity to do exactly that. Call Action Movers and they'll set you up with a local realtor who will help you sell and or find a new home, whether it be in North Dakota or anywhere else in the country. In exchange, you'll earn $5 back for every $1,000 in your home sale or purchase price. No catch. Just move with Action Movers to get the cash back. Call them today, 701-566-5532.
Did you know that the oil and natural gas industry touches every corner of North Dakota? It's true. Each year, the industry pays over $2 billion to the state of North Dakota. That money flows across the state, funding everything from education, roads and flood control projects, to social services and law enforcement. Learn more at ndpetroleumfoundation.org. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas. Advancing the possibilities.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming April auctions include 710 acres in Stutsman County near Eldridge, 400 acres in Emmons County near Linton, 160 acres of cropland in Barnes County, 120 acres in Sheridan County near McCluskey, 480 acres in Sioux County, and 320 acres of farmland and pastureland in McLean County near Benedict, North Dakota. And don't forget, farm equipment retirement auctions in New Salem, Hettinger, Kenner, Steele, and Bowman, North Dakota. View these auctions and many more land and equipment auctions at Piper's.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Sitting there, selling turnips on a flatbed truck, crunching on a pork rind when she pulled up. She had to be
back at What's On Your Mind, brought to you by Petco Serve USA today. Home cooking, grab and go convenience. She had and I mean home cooking. That's right. It is so good. The recipes are fantastic, and you can take it to go. Got that grab and go convenience, but you still have at home cooking. So if you're in a bit of a rut and where you're going to lunch and just is the same old, come on over to PetroServe USA, West Main Avenue, West Fargo today as meatloaf or taco hot dish. See what I'm talking about? Valley City, exit 292 off I-94, hot beef sandwich or chicken pot pie, 12th and I-29, scallop potato and ham. Glendon has pulled pork today, and a meatball sub at 45th Street in Fargo, just a little bit north of 13th Avenue South there. And same thing in Eulen, NP Avenue, Harwood, home cooking, grab-and-go convenience, PetroServe USA. Back with our conversation with Jason Bohr, President and CEO of the Lignite Energy Council. This is things you don't think about day to day, but you should, that if an industry is no longer here, what kind of an economic impact it would be on companies all across the state, how many jobs are affected by that, especially in the case, as I say, about Lignite as an industry that literally is under attack, full-on, you know, attack. It is good to know what kind of economic impact it has. Appreciate NDSU, Department of Agribusiness and Applied Economics, doing this so we know and we can talk about it. Anything else from the study, Jason, you think is something that needs to be highlighted?
You know, just the stability of the industry in general. We've been doing these studies now for years and years, and that output, that tax revenue portion of the state, that $100 million per year that keeps going to the state, 110, 105, 115, it's relatively steady and incredibly consistent. And it creates a good dynamic partnership when the state can count on a significant portion of revenue. It is not super volatile, meaning, you know, it's not getting spikes, highs and lows from year to year. It's just consistent revenue that fills that coffers for the state and also for these local counties. And that consistency is a hallmark of the Lignite industry.
How has it been able to be that consistent, given the fact that, as I mentioned, that this is not for the faint of heart, your business, given what's coming at you? How do you keep it that steady?
The relationships that the mines and the power plants have to each other is the key to that. They have long-term, low-cost contracts and a true partnership. When the mine itself is located adjacent to the power plant, the mine-mouth relationship really leverages the benefits of both of those models to the benefit of the consumers. And it is because the mine itself is an incredibly expensive infrastructure project located next to a power plant, which also is, you know, a $1 billion piece of machinery. If you separate those two, they both lose a lot of their value. The mine without the power plant doesn't have a customer, and the power plant without the mine doesn't have fuel. So they depend upon each other. They have such a strong motivation to work together that they find a way to continue to produce low-cost electricity. And I think that's the key to the consistency, is the hard work that the employees put into fine-tuning, maintaining that relationship, and continuing to make it more efficient. And, you know, it's great for the power plants. It's great for the industry. But you know what? That's what gets that low-cost electricity to you and I.
Yeah, it sure does. What is the status? I know there's ebbs and flows to the effort to take out the industry, and it never ends. But what would you say right now is the you're winning the battle. You've just explained how $6 billion in economic impact for North Dakota and 12,000 jobs. But how goes the battle?
It is a struggle. The voices who really ignore the science about the sustainability and environmental sustainability of coal, those voices really grow loud, and they continue to throw challenges up in the face of the coal industry. And there is always regulations that are being proposed that are going to harm consumers. They're going to raise electricity prices and continue to try and make it challenging to operate these power plants. And I think you see that in some of the proposed regulations that are coming out of this administration, where, you know, they're revisiting some regulations regarding mercury and some of these emissions that we've done such a good job controlling, using the tools at our disposal in North Dakota to control lignite-specific issues. And they're kind of asking us to throw that out the window and adopt technology that was developed for other types of coal. And that's not good for consumers. And it's not even any better for the environment. So it's a misguided approach. And there are certainly people who are doing that simply because they want to shut down the industry.
How critical is Joe Manchin to staving off some of the bad stuff, being that he's a Democrat that the White House desperately needs on many votes because of the tight Senate majority for Democrats and the fact that he's from coal country? Does that help?
It absolutely is helpful. You know, his voice is a voice of reason. If you rewind the world 25 years, his voice was not a unique voice among Democrats or Republicans. His was a moderate voice, in fact. And that's where the world has changed so much in the last 25 years, is voices like his were pushed by really extreme left-wing radicals out of the Democrat Party. And Republicans have tried to stick up for the coal industry. And I think both Senator Cramer and Senator Hovind have worked closely with Senator Manchin on saying, hey, here's what we need, here's what we're working on, and let's not make this fight about not keeping the or about not changing the world. Let's make this fight about building the next generation of clean coal power plants, and we can make the world a better place by investing in the coal industry instead of just building a wall around it. And I think he's responded to that.
I only have 30 seconds for your answer on this, but critical minerals and the need, obviously, for the quest for electric vehicles being as robust as it is, does that help the domestic coal industry? Does that have anybody saying, boy, we can't go after these guys because we need these critical minerals?
It does help. And actually, Representative Anna Novak, this session has got a bill passed that incentivizes the building of critical mineral extraction facilities and other things in coal country that we hope are going to bring new industry to the heart of coal country. So it's an exciting development, absolutely, and it will be utilized for EVs, for high tech, and a lot of other things.
Now, the dominance of that from other places is really, really dangerous given this push. So that's great to hear. Good news. Jason Bohr, President and CEO of the Lignite Energy Council. Always a fun conversation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're going to talk to the money man when we come back. Brian Cronk going to break down this market and all the pitfalls that are out there and give you some valuable information. Stay tuned for that next. MyPillow 2.0 is here. Brand new temperature regulating technology that keeps you comfortable throughout the night. Mike Lindell has done it again. Sleep is all about temperature and heights, not a firm or soft thing. Everyone wants soft, but they need support. The patented adjustable fill is going to give you the exact support you need from the bed to your head, and it's going to stay that way throughout the night. This is where it gets really good. We've all experienced those temperature-related sleep interruptions. You get too hot, you toss and turn, you flip your pillow over. All of that is gone with the MyPillow 2.0 cooling technology. Your MyPillow 2.0 will stay cool all night long. It's truly the best pillow you'll ever own. And right now you buy one and you get one free. That's right. Buy one, get one of the MyPillow 2.0. Just use the promo code Scott at MyPillow.com. Promo code Scott, MyPillow.com, or call 800-506-9028.
USA News Update. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken confirmed this morning a U.S. diplomatic convoy was fired on by gunmen believed to be affiliated with the Sudanese Rapid Support Forces militia in Khartoum. Many foreign diplomats and international organizations in Khartoum have been targets this year. Blinken this morning.
Reckless, it was irresponsible, and of course unsafe.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Republican from Kentucky, and House Speaker Representative Kevin McCarthy from California criticized President Biden yesterday for not engaging on the upcoming debt ceiling debate. The Republicans want cuts to the federal budget before moving forward. This as China's economy rebounded for the first 3 months of the year. China's National Bureau of Statistics reported this morning China's economy grew 4.5% in the first quarter of the year compared to a year earlier. Lance Pry, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
What's on your mind? Busy program today that started with to ban or not to ban, but light in your world. And talking to Brent Sampert about workforce jobs, workforce issues in the Bakken, and Jason Bohr on the economic impacts of the late night industry. And now we're going to talk about your money because Brian Kroc is here from Collins and Kroc. And we love our conversations with Brian, who's a financial advisor, who is a managing partner, senior portfolio manager at Collins and Kroc, and a guy full of all kinds of great knowledge. So let me begin with just kind of an off-the-wall question about, I just got back from New York City, and there was a lot of chatter in the New York papers about a liquidity crisis. About things, you know, clamping down a little bit. And I never know if that's just sort of the, you know, the go-along-to-get-along crowd that just sort of pretty much saying anything, or if there's enough of a ripple there. What is your take?
Well, thanks again for having me, Scott. I don't know that we're in the middle of or even near a liquidity crisis yet, but if you look back, whenever those things show up, we tend to have problems with the markets. They ripple through the economy. It's the bond market. It's the stock market. It's interest rates. And what is a liquidity crisis? Just think about an illiquid asset for a second. So if you own your home, a home is an illiquid asset. You can't just cash out today and have your money in your pocket. You've got to arrange for a sale. You've got to arrange for a buyer. And then you've got to go through an entire closing process. That's considered illiquid. And if you have money in other investments that would normally be very liquid that you could just cash out real quickly, and all of a sudden it's illiquid, meaning you can't just cash out real quickly, you run into problems like you had with Silicon Valley Bank. They had a lot of liquid assets that they couldn't get rid of quickly when they needed them. And so what do? If you have to sell your house all of a sudden, guess what? The only way you're going to make a really fast sale is to keep dropping your price. You might have to sell your house for, you know, 70 or 60 or 50 cents on the dollar. And that's what a liquidity squeeze or a liquidity crisis is. I don't think we have that right now, but they're dangerous when they happen.
And that's a risk that's out there. And this Definitely. Is what this is what you do at Collins and Kroc is manage these risks for your clients, right?
Absolutely. There's all kinds of, you know, landmines, all sorts of different risks in that manner. And so that's what we're trying to do is identify those risks, which ones are real, which ones are not, and then figure out how to maneuver around those for our people.
What would you assess the risks in the markets right now?
Well, there's always just your normal volatility risk and you know, the kind of things that people normally would think of with stocks or companies that don't perform and things like that. but you also have other risks that are going on right now that people aren't necessarily used to. So, you know, you've got a legislature that's, you know, still fairly one-sided, and so they're putting a lot of things up on the docket that, you know, potentially are ripple effects and risks to the market, tax reform being one of them, the debt ceiling controversy, you know, that's kind of hanging out there, you know, interest rate risk, that's one that people don't think about very much, but it's very important. You can see the results of that last year when we went from essentially 0% interest rates to 4.5% on the Fed funds rate in just 11 months. That has a huge risk, big enough risk that it put banks out of business. So there's lots of risk in the market right now.
Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned tax reform, and I don't know if you call it tax reform or tax, you know, insanity, but there is some ridiculous proposals on the table. We have the Republican House that could obviously mitigate some of that. But you have the Democrats in the Senate and in a White House that would favor this. So, what are you worried about?
Well, the big one that you're talking about, obviously, is they want to tax unrealized capital gains. And there's arguments being made right now that that's not even constitutional to do that because that's not really income in your pocket and therefore you can't tax that. I don't know. Constitutionality doesn't seem to be something that the administration has been too worried about. But you think about how that would work. You know, if you've got a $100,000 stock portfolio and it goes up to $150,000 in a year, wow, you've got a nice thing. You haven't sold anything, so you don't have any more cash in your profit, but they would demand that you pay tax on that gain. And likewise, if the next year, again, you haven't sold anything yet, it went back down to $100,000, they'd be sending you a check for a tax refund. And so it's pretty crazy. Think about somebody like Elon Musk. Whenever that Tesla stock would go up or down, he'd be sending checks back and forth between the government or they'd be sending him some. It's not a very efficient way to tax for one thing, but it's just miserable.
He'd be making cars in Mexico in a hurry.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
I mean,
just
totally send.
Well, and even then though, still that doesn't stop the stock price from going up and down. And so every time that stock price moved up and down in a year, he'd either be paying taxes or getting a refund from the government. So that's kind of why they like it. There's no real hiding from it like you can do with other things, but it would create a huge mess. It's also, like I say, something that's never been done. So we'll see if they do that. The other thing that they're kind of linking to that, Scott, is they're talking about indexing the cost basis to inflation. So think about that. You've got people who, especially here in the Red River Valley, own Microsoft with a very low cost basis. Maybe their cost on the stock was, you know, $10. And so if they were ever to sell their Microsoft stock, you know, in the hundreds right now, they're going to pay tax on all that profit. If we index that cost basis to inflation, well, guess what? As prices rise, stock prices rise also, they would continue raising that cost basis. So even though you only paid $10, you know, they'd say that, hey, maybe $50 is what it's worth from an inflation standpoint, and so you wouldn't have as much tax due. In fact, there's estimates saying that you could save as much as 40% on capital gains tax. So that's one part of it that the Republicans are kind of favoring. They've been behind that part of it before. But those two things, that and the capital gains that are unrealized, those are kind of linked together right now.
All right. Let's talk about the debt ceiling situation. You had a speech given Friday, I guess it was, by Kevin McCarthy, the speaker, before the New York Stock Exchange. And there's a showdown going on. These guys haven't met for a long time, but he said basically, if you don't do spending cuts, we're not doing it, you know, raising the debt ceiling. So they're right now in a mess. How would that affect the market?
Well, it's interesting. And to be clear, he's not saying that the people on the exchange need to do the spending cuts. He's talking to Congress and saying to, you know, the other half, the Democratic side, that hey, we need to cut our budget, which is huge. We definitely need to do that. But, you know, how does that affect the market? So long term, I think it's a nothing burger. So we've had this argument, this fight, this debt ceiling thing over and over again. We know, because it's always happened in the past, they're going to fix it, and they have to fix it because we cannot afford to default on our debt. We can't risk losing our currency status in the world. We can't risk losing our credit rating in the world. So ultimately, they were going to fix it. But at what price? Always this thing gets dangled out there and sort of held for ransom. And so there's going to be something there. So long term, I'm not worried about that at all. We don't look at changing anything from our stock portfolios or anything like that. Short term, that's where it becomes an issue. So we've seen in the past the talk around this debt ceiling thing get very loud at times, or the ransom that needs to be paid, if you will, also sometimes can be very hefty. And so we'll see what that does. depending upon the noise, you could see some major volatility in the market in and around that time, especially since they always pushed it until right at the last minute. And so I hope they resolve that soon, because I don't necessarily love that volatility. But if we get an extended period of volatility, that's something I don't mind trading around. If we get something that falsely goes down a little bit because of this debt ceiling, that's going to create some buys. We'll buy into that for our clients. When the debt ceiling is resolved, we can sell it and take some short-term profits.
All right, so if not the debt ceiling, we've dealt with that, tax reform, what else? What else are you worried about?
Well, so the debt ceiling is kind of linked to the bigger question. You know, why do they keep wanting to raise that? That's the overall debt, right? So think about that. Our debt in this country keeps rising and rising. And you know, as somebody who's pretty conservative, as you know, I'm not a big fan of accumulating all this debt. I'm not one of those out there talking about doom and gloom either, because when you think about it, it sort of works like this. If you've got a newly married couple and they don't have, you know, a whole lot of income yet, and they're carrying a $5,000 credit card debt, that might be all that they can handle. Now they get further into life, they're both further into their careers, they've got a lot better income, and now they got a $10,000 or a $15,000 debt. Guess what? They can carry that because they've got more income. And pretty soon when they're mature, now they've got really good incomes, they've got money in the bank, and maybe they can afford to have a $25,000 credit card balance. And so that's sort of how it goes with our country. So when I hear people say, well, gee, you know, look how much higher our debt is than what it used to be. Well, yeah, so is our GDP, which is our national income. And so it's all rising commensurately. And so that's the argument that says, hey, we can handle this. The problem that I have with it, though, is it's rising way faster than our income as a nation. And when that happens, at some point, it's going to become overpowering. Again, take that young married couple. If they just accumulated so much debt that they could no longer afford to make the payments, they'd run into problems. And we're getting closer and closer to that, because this debt ceiling thing, yeah, they'll raise it just a little bit, but it's sort of like making just the minimum payment on your credit card. We do that. We pay the interest. That's all we seem to do. If we didn't do any more spending and we just raised our debt ceiling, we have to raise it just to make that interest payment. That's frustrating, because just that alone, the debt is going to keep rising just because of interest on interest. And that's a big risk for our country over the long term.
So short term, just expand on what you could see as possibilities if they just end up at a stalemate and play a game of chicken here.
So if we get some of that short-term volatility, I can see the headlines that are going to be out there lambasting the Republicans or whichever, you know, key personalities are holding that up, and then they're going to talk about how devastating it is for the economy and how devastating it is for our bond market and interest rates. But at some point, you start to see those interest rates move, and you start to see some people who are a little bit weaker hands, maybe even some of these banks, selling their bond positions, and that's going to create a problem. And so that's where you get that volatility. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, a 10% swing in the stock market just based on that on the short term there. And if we get that and it lasts over a couple of weeks, that becomes tradable for us. We can go in and buy some things that are, you know, down 5, 10, 15% and then get rid of them and take nice short-term profits. If this thing just gets resolved really quickly, well, then we'll see just a little blip there, and I don't expect anything more than that.
If you had a magic wand, what would you do? You get the Fed to get the, you know, the House and Senate leadership together with the White House and kind of orchestrate something here?
Wow, magic wand. No one's ever given me a magic wand before.
Yeah, you got it now.
So, you know, if I had the magic wand, I think, yeah, we'd get them together. And I think those spending cuts are definitely necessary. I mean, magic wand being what it is, I would like to get us to the point where we no longer have to raise our debt ceiling. The fact that we have to raise it just to maintain where we're at, just so that we can accumulate the additional interest on interest, that's problematic to me. So I'd like to be able to get our debt down low enough that we no longer have to do that.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I'm just amazed that the White House is basically saying spending cuts are off the table.
It's
like, wow. I mean, you don't think there's one thing we can cut here? Nope, nothing we can cut. My gosh.
Crazy.
That seems like a take my ball and go home deal.
Exactly.
And figuring the Republicans are going to blink, but a dangerous game. More with Brian Cronk, Collins and Cronk after this.
Discover Kinder Care. Kinder Care is assisted living homes located in West Fargo.
offering adult daycare services, companion care, and assisted living, all the services you need available at Kinder Care, plus home-cooked meals, 24-hour security, personal care, and more, all in a cozy family environment located on 3 acres of land in a scenic, quiet country setting in West Fargo. KinderCareFargo.com or call 701-261-3246.
We love the American flag. That's why at ndflagpoleguy.com, that's all we do. We install flagpoles. We repair flagpoles. We wash flags. We replace flags. We want to install and take care of your flag. This is Jim. I'm ndflagpoleguy.com, inviting you to proudly display your love for America by flying Old Glory at your home or business. Call 701-571-FLAG or go to ndflagpoleguy.com. Thank you.
From field to fuel. A story from the North Dakota Ethanol Council. Did you know North Dakota's ethanol industry is a leader in carbon capture? Ethanol is pioneering carbon capture. While the world talks about it, ethanol is doing it. Here, now, reducing the carbon footprint. North Dakota's corn producers are increasingly efficient stewards of the land, producing more on the same land with less inputs. In fact, yields have increased 25% to 42% in the last 20 years using similar levels of inputs. Corn ethanol is our nation's best way to decarbonize transportation today. And corn ethanol has a significantly smaller carbon footprint than gasoline. And is getting smaller. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org. A message from the North Dakota Ethanol Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Anniversaries, retirement parties coming up. Got a great gift giving idea for you. MyPillow products, priced right now. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott for all the good deals. Get on the radio listeners tab and you'll find just everything. My coffee, slippers, the new MyPillow 2.0, 800-506-9028 or MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. Back with Brian Kronk from Collins and Kronk. Question we get a lot is about the dollar and about this effort between Russia and China to displace the dollar as the world currency and what that would mean in the way of a meltdown. Do you worry about that?
I don't worry about that. We call it the almighty dollar for a reason. And the dollar has been just powerful in the world. It is the world's currency. I travel around the world, and the dollar speaks volumes. If you're carrying dollars in your pocket, that says a lot, and it's valuable everywhere. So I don't worry about that right now. There's little ripples that go through the market there, but there are a lot of forces that would like to see that status changed. And we have to watch for that. It's another reason why I don't worry about the debt ceiling, because if we were to do things like default on our debt or not raise the debt ceiling or things like that, that leads to us losing this great status we have for the U.S. dollar. But other than that, I'm not too worried about it. It's mostly just noise. We have agreements in place with most of the major economies around the world that make the dollar have the status that it is. It is the world reserve currency, and we're not likely to lose that soon, unless we continue doing this fiscally crazy stuff. And that's something that I don't think happens in another generation or two. So we've got time there. I'm not worried about that affecting my investments at all.
Is the banking crisis over? This little, ripple or whatever you want to call it, caused by a Silicon Valley Bank?
That's a great question. And, I'd say it's not really even a crisis. If you go back to 08 and 09, that's where we saw a crisis. It was systemic. Every bank was kind of interlinked, and one led to the next, sort of like a domino factor. And we haven't seen that. We've seen a couple of mismanaged banks that were, taking risks that they did not need to take, and those guys got the rug pulled out from under them. For our clients that had those kind of longer-term bonds that were subject to this interest rate risk, we exited those positions way in advance of that. We saw that. We have an algorithm that also did that for us. The fact that the educated people at these banks did not have the intelligence to do that says, hey, either they just weren't smart enough, which I have a hard time believing, or they just knew, hey, we're going to get bailed out because the government has never stopped us from doing this, which is exactly what happened. We've created moral hazard in this country, and so these banks that are the bad actors, they just knew that they would get bailed out, and sure enough, they did.
And as you say, you saw it coming. Collins & Clark manages these risks for your clients. Talk about how you do that.
So I'll just speak to that just for a second. So we have what we call our smart portfolios. It's an algorithm that I developed. We have a computer that runs that in the background. That computer is at a place you might have heard of called the NASDAQ. And so the NASDAQ computer systems run that algorithm for us on a daily basis. And one of the things that we do is we look to see where these changes are happening from a relative strength profile. So not only could we just use common sense and say these long bond positions are going to get hurt, we saw those positions remove themselves from our algorithmic matrix, and so we removed those from our clients' portfolios. So when everybody else was in bond positions that were going underwater, and we're talking, Scott, treasury bonds that were down 20% last year, guess what? Our clients did not experience that same problem because we had moved them to the sidelines. We had put them in, short duration money markets and things like that. It's only in the last quarter now that we've started adding back into those longer maturity and higher yielding bond positions. And we don't think that it's necessarily super safe yet, but we've started adding back into those. So that's one way. We use this algorithm in our smart portfolios, and we do that on the stock side too. We move away from the more aggressive stocks into the, more conservative stock funds in that. In our individual stock portfolios that we run, there is a whole lot more trading that goes on to protect our clients. But one of the biggest things that most places don't want to tell you about is we're not afraid to hold cash. There were times in the last year where cash was 15, 20, 30% of our portfolio. Cash isn't something I like for the long term because it doesn't earn you anything, but when the market is going down, we'll use that as a solid holding in our portfolio, and that's enabled us to have some dry gunpowder that we could put to work when we get these nice moves up in the market.
Stick to the plan.
The plan is kind of the third risk management tool for our clients because it's so easy to see them get hung up on what the value is today or what the stock market news is when you turn on, CNBC or something like that. And when we're doing planning for them, we're looking at not the portfolio today, but what their portfolio is going to look like, say, 3 years from now or 5 years from now or even longer out there when it comes to retirement. And when you start looking at what a good portfolio with the kind of mix that they have is going to be 5 years or 10 years from now, you say, gee, do you really want to sell that and pull the rug out from under that? People don't. That helps them to stick with the plan. They know what those values are going to be, and that planning software is so very accurate.
Call Brian and the team at Collins & Cronk, 701-235-0119, 701-235-0119 to get a plan in place for you and to have a team that does something a lot don't. That's manage the money for you.
Absolutely.
You're a portfolio manager. You're doing that every day.
We do it right here in Fargo. We've got research teams all around the country, and we make this work for you.
CollinsandCronk.com on the website if you want to check them all out, see their pretty faces, and find out more about the good work they do, or call them at 701-235-0119. Fascinating conversation as always, Brian. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
Folks, we'll see you tomorrow on What's on Your Mind. Thank you for joining us today. Brent Sanford, Jason Bohr, Brian Cronk, our guests, Jay Thomas earlier. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
When joint pain controls the way you move, it holds you back. The Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team can help with therapy and treatment options that focus on finding your way forward without pain. If you're ready to manage your symptoms or plan for a future total joint replacement, we're committed to providing you care in a healthy and safe environment. Call 701-323-8920 to schedule a same-day appointment with the Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team in Bismarck.
Information comes flying at you, and the mumbo-jumbo is so confusing. When it comes to Medicare, you are not alone. Free and unbiased assistance is available to North Dakotans through the State Health Insurance Counseling Program. Need help understanding all the forms? How about your Medicare coverage options? Maybe you need to file an appeal. Whatever it is, we're here to help. To speak with a counselor, call 888-575-6611 or visit insurance.nd.gov. This ad paid for by the North Dakota Insurance Department with funds from the Administration for Community Living.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.